Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. In the face of external uncertainties and to address some of China's domestic issues such as economic rebalancing, transformation, and the role of the state, leaders have been promoting a so-called due circulation growth model as a new economic and social development plan. Now, in a recent report by HSBC, they refer to this as a new agenda in the making. And to find out more, we're joined by Patrice Consecour, and he is the Chief Executive Officer and Head of Southeast Asia at HSBC Global Asset Management here in Singapore. Patrice, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, I've got to ask you, we've got some key data due out from China this week, and dominating headlines recently has been the back and forth between China and the US. We had some more news over the weekend. Now, economies around the globe have also been hit by the altering trade flows and supply chain disruption. China's focus on domestic circulation is expected to expand domestic demand and strengthen China's supply chain resilience. But how has this really altered China's foreign trade dependency ratio?
So I think we need to think about quantity versus quality in terms of this foreign trade dependency ratio. If you think about China's foreign trade dependency ratio, in fact, it peaked in 2007, which was a long time ago. And today, this strategy about domestic circulation is really about increasing the quality of domestic production, particularly moving up the value chain in technology terms, and also increasing the resilience of the supply chain, as you mentioned. But you're right as well. There's some interesting data coming up actually as soon as tomorrow with industrial production and retail sales. We expect industrial production to be relatively firm. Probably retail sales is going to be a bit stagnant. And that's really one of the key issues right now, is that the recovery is remaining quite uneven. Infrastructure, property recovering very, very nicely. But on the other hand, domestic private demand remains quite stagnant. So we do have a challenge there.
So what does this mean for China's global trade partners?
I think it's interesting to remember that the circulation is really dual circulation. There's domestic circulation, which is about internal demand, and international circulation, where clearly there's a commitment to deepen efforts to open up the economy, to improve the economic resilience. This may also mean look for different trade partners. And if you look at China's share of global trade over the last few months, China hasn't lost any market share. Quite the contrary, actually. It's gained market share, but not with the same partners, particularly with Europe, interestingly. But I think if you think in terms of what does it mean for Chinese trade partners, it's really, let's remember the key point of the strategy from a Chinese perspective, which is really strengthening supply chain resiliency, increasing or moving up, if you want, the value chain. So I think that partners, trade partners of China who are able to contribute to those aims stand to benefit. And actually, we had news, I think this morning, actually, about TikTok.
Yes.
ByteDance, really.
We did, yes.
ByteDance planning to invest billions in Singapore. Okay, I think we have a few winners in Singapore as a result of all of this. And that's a pretty good example. And of course, there's other news about TikTok, but I won't dwell on that.
We can talk about that a little bit later, because I want to stay in China for the moment. And, I want to ask you as well, when we're talking about looking internally at domestic circulation, because there are some challenges within China as well in terms of rebalancing, because we've also got the wealth gap. That's one, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The wealth gap is indeed quite wide. And you might say it's both it's a consequence, in a way, of the reforms of the last few years. And it's also a secondary consequence of the pandemic, which has hit the labor market quite hard, as well as household income. And that, of course, creates an even more difficult situation for lower income groups. And let's bear in mind as well that this labor market still remains fragile in spite of the nice looking recovery overall. To a large extent, I think this has to do with a very weak social safety net and rising debt burdens, which of course are hitting very hard when income streams are cut, as may sometimes be the case. And that, if anything, that increases the focus on the need to have reforms to empower consumer spending, to improve the safety net and medical coverage. And that's, this is pretty tough structural transformation of the political and economic system. But then again, I'm pretty sure that's top of mind as well.
We're speaking with Patrice Iconsecor, and he's the Chief Executive Officer and Head of Southeast Asia at HSBC Global Asset Management here in Singapore. So Patrice, let's take a closer look at how recent events and policy measures are impacting the market, starting with fixed income. Do you expect the onshore default trend to pick up again?
Yes, I do. And at the risk of surprising you, I think it's very healthy.
Okay.
If you go back a few years, there were no defaults in China, none at all. A little bit like Japan in the 1980s, for listeners who are old enough to remember that. And that, of course, was very artificial. So the fact that we have now government authorities who are willing to allow companies to go bankrupt, which also means bankruptcy proceedings taking place, I do believe this is healthy. It's also something that's necessary in the face of a very, very aggressive market opening in the last few years. A few years back, it was extremely hard to get exposure for international investors to the Chinese bond market. It's become a lot easier. Now, having said all of this, we don't believe for a second that this default rate will go to unmanageable levels. I think it will remain very manageable. But if anything, it will serve as a good reminder that when investing in credit markets, one should do their homework, particularly when it comes to the Chinese market. Having people on the ground who are doing, you know, the hard work of credit research and checking the facts and the numbers is more than ever necessary.
And looking at equities now, Patrice, which sectors are you looking at? I mean, we spoke briefly about tech, very, very briefly, with everything that's been happening with ByteDance and TikTok. But which sectors are you looking at in China when it comes to equities?
So even before we talk about sectors, I think it's important to remember that from a very low point in March, the Chinese equity rally has been nothing short of spectacular since then. And it's really hard to imagine that in the next few months we'll see a repeat of this. So at the risk of sounding like a broken record again, selectivity is really, really key more than ever. And a good illustration of this, I could say, for instance, would be, for instance, the industrial sector, industrial stocks. So overall, we're underweight on industrial sectors. And you might say, oh, but that's in spite of the infrastructure program, of the full resumption of construction activity. Yeah, sure, but the emphasis really is on the value add. And so if we talk about infrastructure, we find a lot more interest into new infrastructure, so to speak. Another example I might point out is consumer staples. So, you know, usually people like consumer staples in times of uncertainty because of their defensive properties. But having said that, this is really common knowledge, so it really doesn't translate into any sort of informational or investment advantage. So when we look at consumer staples, and I have to say we're overall overweight on consumer staples, what we're really looking at is whether the companies we want to invest into have a trusted brand, have some pricing power, and very importantly these days, do they have a credible online distribution strategy? So we end up being overweight in that sector because of individual stock picks. But you mentioned technology. Mm-hmm. Again, we have a good example about selectivity there. We're overall overweight on the sector, tech and IT, in spite of the old play on smartphones being relatively unexciting today because demand is actually quite unexciting. So where we focus at really is on the tech upgrade theme, moving up the value ladder. So, and again, that's not just a word, selectivity. Right? This is about understanding the company's business models, their project, their opportunity set. So to give you an example, within the smartphone space, which, like I said, isn't particularly as a whole, may not look super exciting today, whether this whole theme about handset lens upgrade, mm-hmm. which is incredibly technical and which we find actually quite exciting. and again, so sorry, this all sounds a little bit nerdy. We're talking about tech after all, aren't we? But again, this is all about research. This is all about having the local deep roots and doing the digging up.
And I got to ask you one last question really quickly. I mean, in news out this morning, I don't know if you can comment on this, but ByteDance has announced that it's reportedly dropping TikTok's U.S. sales to partner with Oracle. What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, this tit for tat that we've been seeing happening between the U.S. and China.
Well, I can't really comment specifically on this transaction, especially since this is something which is ongoing, as we understand.
Sure.
But I do think it's a good illustration of the fact that even after a pretty extraordinary performance, even after a lot of drama around geopolitical issues, it's worth looking at individual stocks and look at them closely, because there are definitely opportunities for investors in there. And ByteDance may or may not be one of those, but certainly it's worth doing the work.
We've been speaking with Patrice Iconsecor. He's the Chief Executive Officer and Head of Southeast Asia at HSBC Global Asset Management here in Singapore on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.